chapter, the third chapter of the book of Revelation. In the third chapter, God begins to speak to the churches. Churches representing different times and church age, but in a very real sense, a very present representation of every season in the church. So in real terms, we can see these different churches in our present time. And the guidance of the Spirit is for us to cry out to God concerning those aspects that need to be corrected, that we do not want to participate in, and to affirm those areas that we want to be realized in our lives as God's people. It says here, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis. Word Sardis means red ones. Right. This then said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. These things have been said, and we know that the one saying these things from chapter 1 and 2 is the Lord Jesus himself. He says, this then said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. What an indictment. You think you are alive, but you're dead. And everybody thinks you're alive. You have a name that you're alive, but you're really dead. First thing we're going to pray about today is, God, help me not to be confused about the reality of things as they are in your sight. Help me not to be saying I'm a person of faith when I'm a person that's walking in total unbelief. There are so many people that are so confused. Living defeated and are clueless to it. I'm not just talking about people sitting in the pews. I'm talking about people who are ministers of the gospel, living in blatant sin and for whatever reason are unaware. It would be strange for me to think that they're unaware, but they're so deceived because of their gifting to think that they are in truth. You know, the gifts of God are without repentance. The one thing that I can clearly state to all of us as God's people is this. Don't let your gifting deceive you. Don't let it deceive you. You can be living in sin and God can still heal people through you. You can still prophesy and you can still preach and you can still do all of that and people will get saved. That's not the measurement. Well, God is using me. People like what I'm saying and people like what I'm doing. That's not the measurement. And so the Lord speaks very first statements. It's, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. That thou hast a name. Now, you have a name that thou livest. That means people are saying that you're revived. You got it. He says, but I know what? You're dead. You're dead. He says, not only are you dead, you are still dying. He says, so be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You're not completely dead. You are, oh my Lord. That sounds like the church today. You think that whatever it is that we're doing is okay when it does not line up with the Word of God. It does not line up with the truth of God. That's not where God wants us. So we're going to cry out to God, help me to recognize where I'm failing so I can repent. It says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, if you don't watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Evidently, these people did not listen, because the church of Sardis is no more. I went into Turkey, where most of these churches were, and I was shaken to my core. Because most, if actually, there were no structures even left. The whole place was Islam. This was the heart of the gospel, the church. They didn't repent, and they were wiped out. That's not going to be our story. And as I cried out to the Lord, I said, God, what is the agenda for today? What is it that you want us to pray about? What is it that you want to talk about? What do you want us to address tonight? How can we pray tonight? He said to me, I want you to pray Revelation chapter 3. Tonight we'll cry out to God. God, help us not to be deceived. Not to be deceived in ourselves and not to be deceived by people. The accolades of people. Wow, it's an amazing church. And God says, no. What I see is not amazing. Oh, we are having revival. And God says, no. You are dying. You're not revived, you're convulsing. God help us. Would you rise with me and pray? And just cry out to God and say, God, we repent individually and corporately. You know, things can, you know, you can just look at the surface and think, oh, everything is just amazing. And God is saying, no, what I see is not amazing. It says, your works before God are not perfect. Oh God, my Father, my Father, my Father. More reboshia kata tata tabarika taboshike telerikito bokote. God, help us not to be deceived. Merciful God, have mercy. Deliver us, O God, from evil. Father, Lord God Almighty, help us, O God, to be true. Not to fall under deception, the deception of the enemy. Father, deliver us, O God. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy, O Father, in the name of Jesus. Help us, O God, to stop the process of death. Rikada da bashaka tabari balada bashekere barada bashaka rebole da bashekere de bashekere barada da kashi. Lord God, we do not live for ourselves, we live for you, Father. It is what you say that is the truth. It's what you say that is the truth. Help us, O God, not to judge ourselves by the circumstances and by the words of men, but to look, O God, unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, to find life, O God, in you, to find peace in you, to find strength in you. God, forgive us every sin. Cleanse us, O God, from all unrighteousness. Let our pursuit, O God, be, O God, a pursuit for you, a love, O God, that drives us, O God, consistently to you, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Reveal those areas in our lives that must be changed. Merciful God, in the discretion of your grace, work, O God, with us and help us to turn around. We might not blaspheme your name, that we might not shame your name, that we might not do that which is contrary to your purpose. Lord God, help us. Get us the church of the last days. We become a testimony of your great love. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. In verse 4, it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, that's a key statement. He that overcomes the deception of the day, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I have a few names that have not soiled their garment. The white garments are white. He says, those that overcome, meaning those that repent, that he is going to clothe them in white raiment. He says, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will not blot their names out of the book of life because they repented. So repentance is key. He said, there are some that don't need to repent if they've lived right. I said, I see a few of you. You're doing good. You're steadfast. You're faithful. He says, but those that get to overcome the temptation to continue in that wrong pathway, he says, I'm going to clothe them in white raiment, just as if they were not part of that group that had soiled garments. I'm going to take your soiled garments off. I'm going to give you white raiment, And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Rather, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name. You know, God is saying to us here, by his grace, that he wants to relate with us in a proper way. There's a reward available. I'm going to confess your name before my Father and his angels. Now, there are passages where the Lord talks about the confessing of people's names. That means that is connected to us confessing him before men. And confessing him before men has to do with evangelism, with us being faithful and declaring who the Lord of our life is and what he means to us. So part of the repentance is a repentance from hiding the truth of God's word to coming out and saying, I am a believer. I believe God wants to do the same thing that he's done in my life, in your life. So we're going to pray two things here of great importance. One, that God, by his grace, will help us to be truly overcomers. Two, that we stand out declaring his lordship over our lives and in our communities. Because that's a key factor about God confessing our names before the Father. I don't have time to go to those passages right now, but that's a fundamental principle. Lord, help me to overcome, to walk in repentance, and to be a voice that declares the principles of the kingdom of God. Help me to be that. Amen? In Romans, chapter 5, I believe, I'll read verse 9 and then also verse 19. There is a connection in verse 9, Romans 15 and verse 9. It says these words, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now verse 19 says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Through mighty signs and wonders. Now, that church thought they were alive. I am sure that miracles were happening there. That's partly why they thought they were alive. But God says, no. Those are not my miracles. If miracles are happening in your life and your walk with God is not to power. You need to check yourself. Because we're talking about eternal issues here. He says, I will not blot your name out of the book of life. That means your name was already written there in the book of life. That's why it was blotted out. You can't blot something that was not there. At the end of the book, Paul says, I don't want to do all these things and then be cast away. I want to live my life for God. And at the end of the day, I only want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm certain that's true of you also. So tonight, let us cry out to God, grant me the grace to overcome. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even faith. Who is it that overcometh the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If I believe that he is, then I need to act like it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live godly lives. Help me. Help your sons and your daughters. Every one of us, to live uprightly before you, to recognize, O God, that life is in you, and besides you there is none other. There is no other name by which we can be saved except the name Jesus. And Lord, O God, tonight we ask, O God, that Father, that you will confess us, Lord Jesus, that you will confess us before the Father. Help us, O God, to live our lives, O God, confessing your Lordship, confessing, O God, who you are, living out our lives for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I cry out, Father, I cry out to you. I say, Lord God Almighty, do, O God, exceedingly far beyond anything that I dare ask or think. Lord, O God, beyond, O God, the workings of man, O God, the workings of your Holy Spirit, Father. Help us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Sanctify, sanctify, sanctify us and sanctify our house and sanctify this church. Lord, O God, every son, every daughter in this house, and Lord, O God, everyone, O God, will live for you and testify, O God, of your goodness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we denounce every demonic activity around us. Lord, O God, let our hearts, O God, beat for you. Let, O God, everything we say and do, O God, honor you. O Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Have your way, mighty God. Have your will, God, in our lives. Reveal yourself, O God, unto us. In the mighty name of Jesus, confess us, Father, before. Let our names, O God, be confessed before you, before your angels. In the name of Jesus, we honor you, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. We read about the Church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. This church, I believe, is the only church that actually has a particular structure. You can still see the pillars of this church. It's the only one. You say, this was where the Church of Philadelphia was, and you see the big columns. All of the church is gone. This is what he says about the Church of Philadelphia. And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia write. When the Word of God talks about the angel, Angelos, he is not just addressing an angelic being, but he's talking about the messenger or the pastor So when we read through the angel of this church, he's talking about the pastor. But the pastor behind the pastor is also an angelic presence that's assigned. Every church has an assigned angel. Just like every child, every person has an assigned angel. And the Lord talks about angels of little ones, of children, and how they stand before God and they report about what's happening with our child, who did what to our child. So also the angel of the church standing is there to receive instructions and also presents information. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "This thing said he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man open it. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Let us consider those first segments first before we go to the next segment. He's speaking to the church in Philadelphia, and he says, concerning that church, he says, number one, "I'm holy." The Holy One is talking to you. The one who is truthful, who is true, is talking to you. The one that had the key of David. The key of David. The one that had the key of David. The key of David is represented by a few things. Just like keys have cuts, so do these things have a cut. Number one, the key of David is represented in his worship and adoration. It is represented in his obedience. It is represented in his humility. You can look at those factors as cuts in the key. He obeys his parents. He's taking care of the animals. He obeys the parents, going out into the battlefront, taking supplies to his brothers that don't like him, but he's doing it anyway. He's a worshiper, and that is obvious to us, you know, in all the Psalms, how he talked to God. But there's something else about this man, that he was open with God. He didn't play games with God. Now we know he had his flaws. But David spoke to God about what was in his heart. If he was upset, he was talking about how upset he was. "I want this guy, kill him." Slap the teeth out of his mouth. And then the next thing he flips around and he acts right. He was open. He was not a pretender. That's basically it. This is a man who's dancing before God. Just losing every abandon. Just dancing. Worship. Total surrender to God. He that had the key of David. He that opened it and no man shut it. And shut it and no man opened it. Let's pray about this aspect first and foremost. By first of all, declaring who the Lord is, that he is who he says he is, and recognizing that he is a God who can open doors for our lives and nobody can shut it, and he can shut doors and no man can open it. We're going to talk to God right now and say, God, I recognize your lordship. You're a holy God. You're in full charge and in full control. Open doors for me that no man can shut. And shut doors that do not belong in my life. Shut it. In fact, so shut it that it is hidden from my view, that I'm not distracted by any such thing. That every door you have for me opens of its own accord, so I don't have to wonder, is it God's will or not God's will? I don't have time to waste. I've wasted so much time messing around. Now it's time for me to finish my work. I don't want to waste any time. I don't want to check, is this door open? Is that one open? No. Open it, and I know it's open, and I'm going through it. Any door that you don't open, I'm not going to go and check. Because I don't have time to waste. I want to complete my race on time for your glory. Amen? So let's begin to thank God that he is a God who opens doors and shut doors. And thank him for it. Marabo shekete balada daba shekete ba. Ikada daba shekere barabo shekete bore. Rebaraba shakata da hiki. Rikata tabo shekete bere sekete. Ere balado soko tobo shama. Mandabo rekete bro shekete barada saka. Oh God, my Father, I give you praise, oh God, that you reign supreme in my life. And Father, I just want to thank you right now, Father, that you are the God who opens doors that no man can shut. Lord, oh God, my times are not in the hands of any man or woman or entity. You are God and you're supreme. So, Lord God, I declare this day, God, that you're the God who's opening doors for me, and no man can shut it. No man can hinder. No man can slow me down. Nothing can stop what you have done. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, supernatural speed, oh, God, to go through doors, oh, God, that you are swinging open. The doors are swinging open of their own accord. Lord, oh, God, governments cannot shut these doors in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, oh, God, when they think, oh, God, they are going to block in this direction, God, you are doing something else. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring us, oh God, to that place of supernatural living. Father, oh God, where governments and passports and visas and legal documents, oh God, cannot slow the preaching of this gospel. Lord, oh God, nothing, oh God, can stop it, because your provision, oh God, is unstoppable. In the mighty name of Jesus, raise up a people, oh God, that are moving supernaturally. In the mighty name of Jesus, a people, oh God, that are transcending every natural law and every natural rule, oh God, to do that which you have called us to do by the authority of your everlasting word. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Andarabusha. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you have this door open for us, oh God, to have utterance. Andabusha kerebashakataha. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare it so. Glory be to God. The word of the Lord tells us about this open door that God has for us. He opens doors. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, I believe. Colossians 4 and 3. Paul is asking the saints to pray for him. He says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That's very specific. A door of utterance. The Lord told us about the open door that He was granting us, and at the same time, He was telling us about shut doors. And sometimes when the Lord is speaking, you wonder, which is it? It's open door, shut door. Which one am I supposed to be looking at here? And lo and behold, we had shut doors in 2020. But the Lord had been talking about it from September of 2019. That's when we have our New Year, you know, Rosh Hashanah meetings, and we bring the prophetic word for the new year. So God was already talking about 2020, things that in the natural we have never experienced. But He was telling us already about it. And what did He do? In the midst of the shut door, we have open doors. In real terms, I was saying to somebody today, I was saying, you know what, I think we've done more ministry, reach more lives at a time when seem to be shut doors. God opened doors. Amen. You know, yesterday we ministered, we did a crusade to a place called Kaloki or something like that, Kaloki Ping in Pakistan. And one of the first persons that shared testimony said, nobody has ever come into our community before to preach the gospel. You came. And there were so many hands raised up, came to salvation. Many healed. I believe one of the testimonies was about a lady that came that could hardly see, very blurred vision, and her vision cleared up. God healed. God did all of that. God has given us an open door for utterance. God doesn't just give you open doors for open doors' sake. Give us an open door for utterance so that we can speak. And it is interesting enough, the only nation that's ever denied me a visa was Pakistan. In all my life, nobody's ever denied me a visa. They denied me a visa. And in the same country that I was denied the visa, I'm doing more crusades there, and I got a doctorate degree from that country. Go figure. God was just saying, listen, I open a door, nobody can shut it. It can't be stopped. Hallelujah. We serve a glorious God. It says that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak The mystery of Christ. There's a mystery of Christ. But notice, it says, for which I am also in bonds. So he's shortened, but open door. When the enemy thinks he's got you chained down, God is saying, nobody can stop you. Open door. Amen? So I want everyone to be encouraged today. As we continue our time of intercession, God says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I have set it. There's an open door for you. And no man can shut it, he repeats himself. He says, for thou hast a little strength. He says, this open door is not because you're that tough. He says, you got little strength. Yeah, I know it. But I have an open door for you. He says, the other thing, qualifier, and has kept my word. You've been faithful to my word. You've stayed with it. And you have not denied my name. So we see why God opened the door. They were keepers of the word of God, and they did not deny the name of the Lord. This is the church, a God grants an open door. It's not because they were a big, powerful force. He says, I know your strength. It's little. Thou hast a little strength. But you're making use of what you've got. Amen? You're making good use of what you've got. You don't have much, but what you've got, you're making good use of it. That's why I'm going to give you an open door. And nobody can shut it. That's great. That's a great declaration over this church. We're going to pray, God, help me to use what you have for me. What I have. No matter how small it is, may I use it to its fullest potential. The gifts that you have given to me, let me use them. Let me not waste anything. God, grant me an open door. A door that no man can shut. No matter how hard they try, they cannot shut it. See, when God says no man can shut, he's simply saying they're going to try, but they can't. Hallelujah. They can't. No matter how many of them, this door is too heavy for them to push close. I've opened it, and they can't shut it. They can look for all the W-50 or whatever it is, spray the hinges, you know, to see if we can loosen it. It's not going to work. This door is stuck open. Hallelujah. And when I shut a door, it is stuck shut. Glory be to God. May God shut the mouth of the enemy. May God shut every lie and every deceptive pattern that the enemy wants to bring into our lives. And may he open doors of opportunity for us to preach the gospel. The cities and nations that we've covered. When would I have gone to Afghanistan to preach the gospel? When? When would I have gone into some of these Muslim countries to preach the gospel? But we've done it twice now. In the 1040 window, all of the 1040 window, in thousands came to the Lord. When would I have covered that? And it wasn't something I went looking for. God opened those doors. Amen? Hallelujah. The nations we covered last month in South America, Wow. God opens those doors. Do you know how much jet fuel I would have had to, and how many hotels, and my Lord. Then God opens doors, He opens them. Amen. Oh, I remember, you know, going to some of these countries. The challenges, the bills. I'm still at home eating my food. That's incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Let us thank God that He has these doors swinging wide open and that we are able to use what He has given to us effectively. I thank God for the team that He's given to us here and how much we are accomplishing with this team. We're not reaching all these people. Think about it. We've had some of the biggest names in terms of ministry. These are people that mega churches fight to go get for 2, 3, 5 years. They have to plan to get them. 5 years. God of the open door, a phone call. Don't tell me God isn't a God that opens doors that no man can shut. Don't tell me that. Too late. Pray. Thank God for the open doors and for the grace to be able to use what you've got for His glory. Shala dadaba shekele de debala koshe. Rikata bari balado soko. Rikata bashakata vikata dikatopo. Mete libre kete libre sheketeba. Lord God, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. By your spirit, by your spirit. God, you are the God who makes impossible things possible. You are the God who opens doors that no man can shut. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you have opened them. You have left them open. And Lord, oh God, they are open and visible for me. And for those, oh God, that need to see those doors open. But Lord, oh God, these doors are not open for the devil and his cohorts. In the name of Jesus, blind every eye that must not see the open doors. Blind them, oh God, from seeing it. But Lord, oh God, open our eyes to see the doors that you have opened. And just blind us from seeing doors that will waste our time. May we never, oh God, be tempted to go to doors that are not open. The time is short, and Lord of God, we must move through these times speedily in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord of God, open doors, oh God, for utterance, for the manifestations of signs, wonders, and miracles. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Lord of God, that your word, oh God, has found in Romans 15 and verse 19, may be fulfilled. Oh God, your servant said very clearly. He said that there was a position that he operated from in the preaching of the gospel. That through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, through mighty signs, wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. So let it now be unto us according to your word, according to that which you've done in the lives of the saints, the apostles, in time past, so do again. It says, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. There was an open door. Lord, oh God, make it possible for us to preach, oh God, signs, wonders, and miracles. Opportunities open. Wide open, Lord, oh God, and recognizing, oh God, that it's not by our might nor power, but by your Spirit. Yes. Paul said, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But that it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Thank you, Lord, O God, for that opportunity. Grant us, O God, the privilege to take the gospel far and near. Lord, O God, give us more and more opportunities around the world, and give us the team, O God, to be able to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished. Place us, O God, strategically, that we may strike at the right point and cause the kingdom of darkness to collapse everywhere we go. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's do verse 9 to wrap up. He says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." God says, I'm going to make those people that are making claims that they've got something, I'm going to make them come bow before you and confess. Hallelujah. I'm going to make them know that I have loved thee. Why? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That's a remarkable statement, that thou hast kept the word of my patience. You know what happens? Many times we're not patient. Patience means that you wait on the Lord. When God gives a word, sometimes you have to be patient. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I can't wait anymore. Be patient. See, you've kept the word of my patience. Before you and I do anything, we must definitely know that God, the God of heaven, spoke. He said, not my deception, my desires, what I want, what I will like. It's not about what I like to do. It's about what God is doing. He says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. There is an hour of temptation. He says, I'm going to keep you from. I'm not going to allow you to go through that hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. When it says all the world, it means all the world. There's going to be an hour of temptation for all the world. What is the hour of temptation for all the world? The hour of temptation for all the world is for the world to try to put God aside and try to do it my own way. The number 666 is a human number, and it's mentioned three times because in the economy of God, when God repeats something three times, it's the completion of the thing. He says, I'm going to keep you. And this word here, verse 10, the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago. And I believe I brought it to the saints here. I don't know what's going on, but the Lord said this. There is something, I'm not being arrogant or prideful or whatever, but I do believe that there's something about this church that we can see by the Spirit of God concerning this house. As I read it, we have little strength, but God has made the doors wide open. We have the word of his patience, waiting for the manifestation of everything that he said. Hallelujah. It's only by God's grace. Praise God. And all we need to do is to continue in his word. Just continue in his word. He says, there's an hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that which you've, hold on to it. Don't let go of it. That no man take thy crown. Ah, so there's a crown. He says, hold on to what you've got. Be steadfast with it. Don't let it go so nobody takes your crown. I'm not going to let anybody take my crown. God forbid bad thing. Hallelujah. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, and cometh down out of heaven from my God. And interestingly enough, the next statement is so dynamic, because we know only one name, Yeshua. And that's the name that's above every other name. But the Lord says, I'm going to get another name. And I will write upon him my new name. I'm going to write on the new Jerusalem on you. And I'm going to write my new name on you too. Isn't that incredible? I'll write on you the name of my God. I'll write God's name on you. I'll write the new Jerusalem name on you. And I'll write my new name on you. What did I do to deserve any of that? You made use of what you've got, and you stayed true to my word of patience. And I'm going to reward that. You made use of what you've got. May we be that church. May God's people embrace this truth. It is a word to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. Now that tells me something. That this place where this happens, there is brotherly love. We love each other. We support each other. We help each other. We build with each other. We're not into our own thing. We are into God's thing. What God said. That is the crucial aspect of this. I'm not going to trade my soul for nothing. I'd rather be with little strength and make it than think, oh, you wait, like the saddest church. What does he say about saddest? I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. I know you got a name. Everybody thinks you're living. He said, but you're dead. I don't want that. I'd rather be, I don't think you got much. But the doors opening. Miracles are happening. Utterance is given. I'd rather be what God can make something out of. What about you? Let us pray. Let us ask God for this mighty move, that those of the synagogue of Satan are cut down and humiliated, that they recognize that we are the loved of God, that we continue with the word of patience. Hallelujah. That we be kept from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the world. Praise the Lord. And finally, that nobody takes our crown, and that God makes us pillars in his temple, and that he writes the name of God, the name of the city of God, and his new name on our lives. Lots of things to pray about. We just pray. Father, as we have stated, as you have declared unto us concerning this church of Philadelphia, we say, let it be unto us according to thy word. Whatever it is that will cause us, O God, not to live out on a daily basis the reality of what you have spoken here to the Philadelphia church, Lord, O God, whatever will cause us, O God, to fail to accomplish that, eradicate from our lives. Help us, O God, to continue. Help us, O God, to be faithful. Help us, O God, to just pursue after you with all of our hearts, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Lord, O God, mark us up. O God, let your name, not the name and the markings of the Antichrist, ever be written upon our lives. Write your name, O God, on us. Write, O God, the New Jerusalem, the name of the New Jerusalem on us. Hallelujah. And write your new name on us. Father, we receive grace to be established as pillars in your temple. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, O God, that the strength to hold on fast to that which you have given to us be in full operation, that our crown never be taken from us. Thank you, Lord, that one of these days, we will too come and lay our crown at your feet, that you may be Lord of all lords and King of all kings. Our praise and our worship unto you. Lord, O God, help us, O God, to use that which you've given to us efficiently. No waste of energy, no waste of time, no waste, O God, in our resolve. Everything, O God, operating, O God, perfectly. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, O God, for access, for open doors all around the world. Open more and more doors. Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, help us, O God, to reach lives, O God, all across this globe. Let this gospel of the kingdom be preached with signs, wonders, and miracles. May we penetrate, O God, into communities that no one has gone into. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name, do a mighty work. Do a mighty work. Do a mighty work. Do a mighty work. Lord, O God, translate us, O God, into nations, O God, bypassing, O God, the legalities of men, in the mighty name of Jesus, to show up, O God, in communities, O God, to preach the gospel. Mighty God, in Jesus' name, we rest, O God, in your everlasting graces. You can do it. You said, Lord, that you do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. As we lay down to sleep, take us by your Spirit into different lands to preach the gospel. Cause our bodies to be rested. Cause our minds to be rested. Cause us, O God, to just operate in supernatural rest. The times, O God, are short. And we surrender our lives and our bodies, all that we are to you. Use this body. Use this mind, use this spirit to reach the lost, far and near. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, O God, for these strange things. Give us open doors. Thank you, Lord. Finance your gospel. Resource, O God, your people. So that spirit, soul, and body, we preach the gospel. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll honor God with our giving tonight. And if we have the video, or rather the poster on the Tehillah night, I'd like to have that up. Let's be reminded that next Sunday evening, we're going to have the Tehillah night. It's a night of praise and worship. We're going to have our worship team lead us, and we're going to have a guest psalmist also ministering to us that night. And then right after that, the Sunday or Friday after that, we start the next set of meetings, which we've captioned the Good God Conference. Actually, I didn't even come up with that title. I heard the Spirit of God speak it, the Good God Conference. We're going to have the Good God Conference, and that's going to be the Good Friday weekend to Resurrection Sunday weekend. So we're going to have that for that particular weekend. And so let's continue to do what God has called us to do. As the poster for the Good God Conference, it is finished. And it's a time of receiving power to possess our possessions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's honor God with our giving, and just let God be God in our lives. You know, I was reflecting while we're doing that. I was reflecting about the life of Paul. A few years back, Mom and I had gone on a trip together, where we went to Israel, and then we went into Turkey. And as we looked at the amount of ground that Paul covered, it became very clear to us that this man, at the time that he lived, could not have covered that amount of distance without supernatural transportation. It's impossible. This is plain outright impossible, because there were times he was left at a particular place and arrived at the next destination before the people that he sent ahead of him. So God was moving him supernaturally from one place to the other. We need that now. If I know I need that right now, because I need to be in different places. But I remember about 30 plus years back, the Lord saying, there's going to come a time when you're going to be in one place and you'll be in different places at the same time. And I said, how is that going to happen? He said, holograms. I said, so I went to the dictionary to look at what hologram was. And that technology is going to be released in a few years. I pray and I declare right now in the name of Jesus that that technology be miniaturized, portable. Mandorobo shikaradada kashike. For the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Yeah. So, I think a few years ago they said the technology is coming out. Actually, we had, Papa did it in one conference. We went on a conference and there was this big thing that they had to set up. And there he was on the stage talking, and you thought he was right there. He was right there. And then he walked in to talk to himself. That's how real it was. But it's so bulky. But God is going to release it, that reduce that technology and make it so miniaturized that it can be in a suitcase. And we declare that the resources, the finances to be able to purchase those items be released in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Because this gospel has got to be preached. Amen. And, you know, like we're in Pakistan the other day, people were looking at a screen. No, but this time they will not be looking at a screen. I'll be right here preaching, and I'll be right there like I'm right there. Amen. Will you agree with me for it to happen now? Shout now in Yeshua's name. Amen. We need that. When things like that are happening, you don't need any Air Canada flying to anywhere. Glory be to God. You know, I go to all these cities and these nations, and I don't see anything but the airport and the hotel. So I'm not. I'm not so excited. I went to Paris and I went to. No. I only saw the hotel and the convention center. So what's the point? Hologram made there. Be at home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God bless you all. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Prosper in His faithfulness and His love. And may His peace garrison your heart. Know that God loves you. Don't ever forget that. Please don't. And please know that the things of this world are just so temporal. You don't need to sell your soul for anything. Give your life completely to God. Live for Him. That's really all that matters. Let's encourage each other on that, okay? Be blessed and be highly favored, and see you Sunday morning and Sunday evening in just a few days. Good night. Love you. Bye-bye. Give me my Zoom family. Say hello to them. I think I have my offering right there.